It seems like there's a lot of bullying going on in our society. It's not only is it from older people, but young people certainly are probably the biggest purveyors of it. We're going to be talking to Jesse Klein, who is an assistant professor of sociology and criminal justice at Adelphi University, and has a new book out called The Bully Society. Jesse, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Are you there?
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, good to have you with us. Yeah, you know, we're seeing school shootings, a lot of intimidation, and it's going on with both sexes, both the boys and girls, which is kind of a change, I think, isn't it?
It's true. The violence among girls has increased and is actually increasing at a faster rate than that among boys. Certainly the school shootings are mostly committed by boys, but girls are increasingly involved in violence. And, you know, where boys often call each other gay, girls often get called slut. There's, you know, the same kind of name-calling and attacks on one another, you know, because of being a particular kind of boy or a particular kind of girl that both are having to endure.
Has the social media made this a lot easier?
The bullying?
Yes.
Yeah, I think social media certainly contributes to the problem. You know, when I interview kids, they talk about how, you know, it's then I've been bullying at school, then, you know, it got worse when there was Facebook, and then it got even worse when texting became common, because then it became 24 hours. So in some ways, it's just, you know, the world becomes larger in terms of how often a bully can reach a person. And the other issue, of course, is that it's often anonymous, and one doesn't know who the bully is when it's on cyberspace.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's made it much worse, I think, is that at least bullying used to be one-on-one. Now it can be anonymous or pretty close to it.
Right, which is why I talk about in the Bully Society how important it is for schools to stop focusing on punishing the bully and start focusing more on how to support people who are victims of bullying. You don't always know who the bully is, and it doesn't necessarily change a bully to punish them. But if you create a school community where you say, you know, we're concerned about anyone who is being hurt in our midst, and we're going to have a school meeting, we're going to have a discussion, we're going to have homeroom, you know, discussions, we're going to make this an issue if anybody is being treated badly, and make it clear that if you go to the school, you know, we care about you, and we care about you caring about one another. And I think schools can make that a priority in their schools and create a peaceful school, again, not by punishing the bully, but by supporting people who have been victims.
Yeah, there have been some people that, in fact, we had a guest on a couple of months ago talking about the fact that zero tolerance policies don't seem to be working, and there needs to be more mediation going on between the students. Is that part
yes,
of what...
Yes, absolutely. There's a very good research done called Zero Tolerance, Zero Evidence. There's no evidence that zero tolerance policies have been effective at all. And there is some evidence that it makes it worse because, you know, much of what the school shooters do is the same values as in zero tolerance policies. You know, they feel like they're punishing the people who hurt them, whereas zero tolerance is also punishing the people who hurt others. So I think that whole notion of, you know, we have to punish and retaliate and revenge, you know, has to be changed. And we have to look instead at how do you create a compassionate community? How do you teach values of empathy? You know, this is all happening in a larger social environment where social isolation has tripled since the 80s. Empathy has decreased significantly. Depression and anxiety have soared. Depression hits children at much younger ages. You know, we have a larger social despair context that this is all happening in. And schools, I think, could play a role in trying to change that social environment and create more compassionate leaders for us.
Yeah, and in doing that, how do you set that up? What does the framework look like in something like that?
Well, I've been in schools where we did indeed have weekly student-led meetings. And if anything came up in the community where anybody had been treated badly, we would discuss it as a school. Not in terms of this person necessarily was treated badly, but if anybody's called gay, if anybody's harassed, that's not okay. And since it was led by students, other students would end up feeling... excuse me, comfortable sharing that they were also upset when they heard people get harassed. They would stand up and say, this is important to them also. And a new culture was developed because it was kids saying, this is the kind of school we want, and this is how we want to protect one another. I think it's very important, you know, in so many schools, people are training kids to stand up for themselves as if it's all on the onus of the victim to defend themselves. But a good school will train kids and support kids to help one another when anybody's being hurt and make that an ethos of their school.
Yeah, I think that's an important part of this because a lot of times kids are very reluctant to get involved or to say anything for fear that they will be the next victims, so they kind of stay out of it.
And they're right, because very often that is what happens. You know, in a typical school, if somebody gets involved, they become the next victim. So again, you know, there are some wonderful programs. The term they use is collective courage. There's one in Long Island by Laurie Mandel called the Get a Voice Project, where she basically teaches teachers to train their kids to stand up for one another. And she tells these wonderful stories of how, you know, somebody tells a kid, you can't sit there because you're in third grade and only sixth graders can sit there. And, you know, everybody on the bus says, no, you know, this person can sit there no matter how old they are, you know, and they really support the student. And the student feels supported, but, you know, and good about being supported. And the kids who stand up for the kids feel good about themselves. And it's a whole different culture when kids feel like it's their responsibility to be there for one another.
Yeah, and it gives them that kind of helps with their growing up process too, doesn't it?
I think so, because again, you know, we're seeing social isolation among grown-ups, you know, tripled. You know, we don't want that for our children. We want our children to feel like they can develop strong and caring relationships with one another and grow up and have a more connected and empathic community. So if we can teach our kids to stand up for one another, to support one another, to be in real relationships with each other, you know, we're going to have a much happier society more generally.
Yeah, has the media contributed to this problem, too, with all of the sort of smack talk that goes on in shows and all these kind of things? I think that's part of the problem, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's concerned about the media. You know, the issue I find is that since the 80s, the same time that we've seen these despair indicators soar, the media has also become more deregulated. We used to have a lot more regulations about what you can show children, where you could advertise. You couldn't advertise in schools or museums or city parks. I mean, there were just a lot more limits. And now everything is deregulated. If it's going to, you know, increase someone's profit, nobody wants to get in the way of it. And so we've seen more violence, more callous sexuality, you know, anything that sells. And I think, you know, it's that culture that has also seeped into our schools, not only the violence and the sexuality, but this notion that the only thing that's important is what sells, and not a compassion for how is this going to impact other people? How is this going to impact our children? How is this going to impact our values as a society? How is this going to impact people more generally? So in that sense, I think the media has had a destructive impact.
Well, Jessica Klein, most interesting, the book is called The Bully Society, and really takes a look at, not only talks about the problem, but I think offers some solutions, some of which we've talked about today, which I think are very important. And I want to give your website, too, which is Jesse Klein, JessieKlein, KLEIN.com. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.